everybody. I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. One of the resources that we provide at Treasured Ministries is our Nourish Bible Study series. Now, what's great about these Bible study resources is that not only do they incorporate commentary created just for women and our Nourish Bible Study method so that you can hear from God personally, but we also have a corresponding video series online for free that you can watch as you are walking through the study. And in today's podcast, I want to share with you the audio from one of those video sessions. If you are interested in discovering more about the Nourish Bible Study series, including downloading chapter one of each study for free, I want to invite you to go to www.nourishbiblestudyseries.com. From that link, you can download the first chapter, you can order a study, and you can also watch additional video sessions, just like the one that you're about to hear the audio of. So without further ado, let's get on with today's message. Enjoy. So in our last time together, I talked about Chariots of Fire, which is one of my favorite movies. Another one of my favorite movies is called The War Room. Now, War Room, if you've seen it, has Priscilla Schreier in it. And I thought, gosh, she's one of my favorite Bible teachers, and she's a great actor too. But anyway, it's a very powerful movie about prayer. And one of the points of the movie is that Priscilla, when she plays her character, created this space inside of her closet that was designed to war in prayer. And after I saw that movie, I thought, you know, that's such a great idea, but I didn't think much of it or really, you know, apply it to my life until I heard the story of a friend of mine who actually created a closet in her room just like Priscilla did, and it was her war room, that place where she got alone with God and she prayed and warred for her family, for her friends, for her God-given dream. And she began to share that inside of that place that she had created, that the Lord led her to create, that it was this beautiful place of solitude, and that she was able to hear God's still small voice. And she said, "I know that God is always with me, that He never leaves me. But during the day with, you know, everything going on, and even when I would try to do Bible study inside of my office, inside of my house, or whatever it was, that there were so many things clamoring for my attention that I couldn't turn my focus to God." Well, I was so inspired by her story of, you know, taking what was shown in the movie and doing it, that I did that too. And it's been very powerful in my life to have that place that is dedicated to the Lord, a war room. And I want to talk to you about that today, because creating a clutter-free place for solitude with the Lord is essential to gain divine direction for your dream. Now, we might think, well, that's just a little detail like a place. Does it really matter? And the truth of it is that God is always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. All the time, everywhere, every day. But the problem is that there are so many things clamoring for our attention
that place of solitude, now more than ever inside of our information age, where we have information coming at us nonstop and we have text beeping off at us and we have all these things around us, things that we can buy and opportunities and choices to go do and to go see. But what our soul needs is solitude with the Lord. And creating that place is a very practical way for you to have that space to hear His still small voice. Now, we know that the dream builder builds dreams, and He's the one that gives us those blueprints, and those blueprints come through His words as He speaks to our heart. And as we follow those words, each step creates a pathway inside of our purpose. But I wonder how many of you listening today are living frazzled and unfocused, and you have this full calendar that's creating claustrophobic lives, but are they focused on the dream that God has for you? Well, solitude, that's what will nourish our soul and also that will allow us to hear God's still small voice. It creates that room to hear that voice. But oftentimes, clutter in our lives crowd out this opportunity. And so creating that space is going to be vital for you to have that time of solitude, to hear that still small voice. And don't discount this as some little step or whatever. Make room in your calendar next week to create a space where you can spend time with God. Inside of our Nourish scripture this week, we see that God leads Joseph back to Bethel. And in our previous week, you read the passage where Jacob experienced God speaking to him at Bethel, and it made a huge impact on his life. Well, right before we're entering into this season, as we're looking at Joseph, so Joseph is with Jacob at this time, God calls Jacob to carry his family back to Bethel, back to that very special place that the Lord spoke to him. And so I want to ask you, do you have a Bethel inside of your home? Do you have a war room for prayer? Where is that place that you go to that is free of distraction, that is free of clutter, so that you can spend time with God? Don't discount this step. You know, dedicating a space in your home designed for spending time with God is a solution to our lack of solitude. So we're going to look at this story of Jacob coming back to his Bethel. We're going to look at some of the things that he asked his family to do. And we're going to use that as direction for us to create our own Bethel inside of our home. Now, my Bethel is not necessarily inside of a closet. I actually have this space inside of my office and a couch and a table, and it's where I go to meet with the Lord. And I want to encourage you this week to find a place inside of your home and create your own Bethel. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." And so God is always with us. It doesn't mean that if we go in this place, God is with us, and when we leave this place, God doesn't. And it doesn't mean that we need to build this altar inside of our home. It's more about building an altar inside of our heart and pulling away from everything that could distract our attention, to direct our focus to God. Genesis 35:1 says this, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau.'" So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 35 looking at this second time that Jacob comes back to Bethel. And then Jacob says this. So Jacob told everyone in his household, "Get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been there with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. Now, the first thing that I want you to see in preparing for your place is that there was separation. He said, "Get rid of all your pagan idols." And then it said that they buried the idols. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, "I don't have wooden idols." And the earrings, they got rid of their earrings because back then they believed that the earrings would ward off, you know, evil spirits. And you think, well, doesn't apply to me today. But what I felt led to talk to you about today is this idol of things and stuff that's cluttering our house. And every time that we look at an item or a thing, or we have to take care of a thing, it clamors for our attention. And so the first thing is that inside of your place, it needs to be free of distractions. There doesn't need to be anything inside of this space that's going to take you away from the Lord, right? And for that purposes, inside of our house, our whole house, what if you and I took the opportunity to say, is there anything inside of my house that's distracting me from spending time with God? You see, God wants first attention inside of our hearts. And oftentimes, things, you know, there's scientific evidence says, I mean, there's a reason why when you go inside, for example, the Apple store, I read this, that they actually tilt the computers a certain way so that you'll kind of play with it, right? Because they want you to touch that thing because there's a connection that happens. And you and I are living inside of a world where we are just cluttered by stuff and things. So the first thing is, get rid of distractions, and especially inside of your Bethel, inside of your place. And another way that you and I can get rid of distractions is to go to our Bethel first thing in the morning. I'm going to tell you, I have the most powerful quiet times in the morning before the sun comes up. And you know why? Because nothing is calling for my attention. My boys aren't up yet. My husband is not up yet. The world hasn't woken up yet, right? My phone is not beeping off. All of these things, it's this still silence. And the world is quiet. And I can really, really focus on what God wants to say to me. On what God wants to say to me. Morning time is best because nobody needs you, right? The next thing is that we need to see our Bethel as a time of purification. Now, John 15:3 says, "You've already been pruned." John 15:3 says, "You've already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you." And then James 4:8 says, "Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." And I want you to see your Bethel as this place of new beginnings. That you have already been washed by the word, that you're coming to God in Jesus' name. Not because you're perfect, but in Jesus' name. And that if you have something that is weighing on your heart, If you have something that you need to confess, by all means, purify your heart. Give it to God so that you can go to God boldly before that throne. In Jesus' name, think of that time with God as your new beginning, because His mercies are new every single morning. And the next part, first part was separation, then we go to purification, and then the last is decoration. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, after we've gotten rid of everything in our place that's distracting us from God, then we want to bring items in place that will bring us into the presence of God, meaning your Bible, your journal that you use, whatever Bible study book that you're working on, perhaps your anchor of truth. Maybe you want to record your anchor of truth, not just on an index card, but on a big sheet of paper, and you're going to put that inside of your Bethel. And all of these things that we bring can remind us to put on Christ. Romans 13, 14 said, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jacob told his family, get rid of your idols, purify yourself, and then get on new clothes. And so when you look inside of your Bethel place, wherever you determine it to be, start with separation, then move to purification, and then finally, decoration. Put on, just as you would put on Christ, put in things that will draw you into the presence of God. Genesis 35, 6 through 7 says that Jacob named the place, and he gave it a different name than he did the previous time before. It says, eventually Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, also called Bethel, in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, which means God of Bethel, because God appeared to him there when he was fleeing from his brother. Okay, so after that second appearance, Jacob changed the name to El Bethel from Bethel. Now, Bethel means the house of God, but El Bethel means the God of the house of God. And John Corson, in his commentary, writes this: this shows monumental maturity for Jacob, that he understands that it's not the house of God that is important, but the God who dwells therein. And isn't that so true that, you know, as far as like naming a space, I mean, like we have names for every room in our house, right? We have the bedroom, bedrooms for sleeping. We have the living room's for living, the dining room for eating, the kitchen is for cooking. Why not name, designate, this is the place, this is my Bethel, this is where I go to speak to God. And when I thought about that, I thought about how I've got names for rooms of my house, but do I have a place that I call my Bethel? That place that I go inside of this world where there's so much clutter. It's critical that you and I have this. And although you name your place, remember, just as the name tells us, that it's not the place that is significant. It's God that's significant. It's not, it's the God of the Bible that you're meeting with. It's that time to connect with Jesus. Number four, take your family with you to the altar in prayer. I love how Jacob brought his family in there. And oftentimes in my walk with the Lord, I used to think, oh, you know, I need to tell Josh this and Justin this, and I need to do this. And I remember when the Lord said to me, the most powerful thing you can do as a mother is to bring them before me in prayer. and whatever it is that you're facing inside of your family. And you know, we're a part of a family of believers. Whatever it is that you're facing, prayer, remember, is where you fight to win God's way. The next thing is to listen for God's still small voice. Verse 35, 9 through 10. Now that Jacob had returned, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, "Your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer, for now your name is Israel." Verse 11. Then God said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." And so God spoke. God spoke, and Jacob was listening. And when God spoke, do you hear that? That he reminded Jacob of his true identity. Now, what I love about this and what you read inside of your nurse scripture this week is that in that season where Jacob wrestled with God, that was the first time that God said, "Your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel." But don't you love that he reminded him again of his authentic identity? And let that be inspiration for us, that renewing our mind on who we are in Christ, that we are the daughter of the dream builder, that we are designed for a purpose, that we are an ambassador for Christ. Let that truth that Jacob was told, but then reminded, let that remind us that renewing our mind on our identity in Christ is so important, and it's never a one and done opportunity. It's something you and I need to be doing daily. Then God says to him, not only does he remind Jacob of who Jacob's authentic identity is, then he reminds Jacob of who he is when he says, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." Remember, your view of God is vital to becoming who God created you to be. And every morning, going to your Bethel and having that experience where God shares with you, maybe it's not El Shaddai, maybe it's God as my provider, maybe it's God as my banner, but where he tells you who he is. And with that truth, remembering who your Almighty Father is, that is the place where you can walk with confidence, knowing who he is and who you are. And then we need to record that still small voice. Genesis 35, 11 through 13, God not only reminds him of his identity, who he is, then he reminds him of his purpose. It says, "Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation and even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you." Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Verse 35, 14, and this is very similar to the passage that you read in Genesis 28, but it says, "Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. Then he poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. And Jacob named the place Bethel," which means house of God, because God had spoken to him there. Now, in that passage, we see God reminding him of the dream. Right? Jacob's authentic identity, Israel, who God was, and then the dream, reminding him of those things, renewing his mind. And then we see that Jacob records, in other words, he marks the place where God has spoken. And you and I can do the same thing by recording that anchor of truth and letting it travel with us during the day. You and I can do the same thing by keeping a journal. That's one of the most powerful things, is when you listen for God's still small voice and say, "Lord, what do you want to say to me today?" And record those words in your journal. You see, God was telling Jacob these words because it would not be long before he would need these words to fall back on and to have faith inside of the dream. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are to renew our minds on his word. Then we will know God's will for our life. But in order to renew our mind, we have to pull away from everything that is clamoring and grabbing for our attention. And right now inside of this world, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of choices that we can make where our calendars are full. And you make no mistake about it. As you follow the dream builder, you will need those words to hold on to keep hope alive, that you may remain steadfast in the call that God has on your life. And the other thing, you know, when Jacob heard the Lord speak to him back in Genesis 18, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place," and he was full of joy. Let me tell you something. My world can be falling down around me when I have that quiet time with God in the morning. And when I hear his still small voice, and when I know, because he's spoken to me, that whatever I face, whatever battle I'm getting ready to face during the day, that I have that love that will not let me go. And those are words that I can live on whatever valley I must walk through. When I was walking through my valley of my traumatic season, there was a scripture that God gave me inside of Jeremiah, and I held on to it for dear life. Do you have a place inside of your house that is your Bethel, that is designed free of clutter, that you may press into the presence of God? The last thing that I want to say is this, is that having that special time with God in the morning, that always begins the night before. We often think of our quiet time or our time with God in the morning as something that we do in the morning. And I want to encourage you, as you're creating this space, to see your night before as that time where you walk through these things of separate, getting rid of the distractions and getting your Bible set out and getting ready for the next day, where you see the night before as preparation for spending time in his presence. You know, wise women know this, that in order to walk out your purpose, you have to plug into God's power. And the only way that we plug into God's power is by pulling away in his presence. And so, I want to challenge you, inspire you, and invite you this week to build your Bethel so that the dream builder can build his dream through you.
Thanks again for listening in to today's audio message from the Nourish Bible Study series. I hope that you enjoyed it. And hey, if you're interested in not just doing the study for yourself, but in leading a group of women through the study, we want you to know that at Treasure Ministries, we love, with a capital L, we love supporting our leaders. We've got Facilitator's Guide, we have our Lead Well for Life Change community, and our Nurture Workshop. So to find out more about those resources, go to www.nourishbiblestudyseries.com. And that's also the place where you can go order your study or even just to check out more about one of our most popular resources, and that is the Nourish Bible Study Series. Thanks again for listening, and everybody, bye-bye.